Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Snug Wrestling Podcast. Happy Friday. This is the SmackDown review from May 30th. We got about 8 days left until Money in the Bank. We got one more Monday Night Raw, one more SmackDown left, and we had a couple more qualifying matches. Both the men's and the women's Money in the Bank matches both have 5 spots filled, one each. So next week, we're going to get the final round of qualifying matches, and we find out who is last to get added to these Money in the Bank matches for next weekend. We also saw John Cena. We saw Cody Rhodes on this episode of Friday Night SmackDown. So we're going to go over that, and we're going to go over all the ups and downs of this episode of SmackDown. And to help me out with that, I got my crew with me, Mr. Blood Toxic, Tommy and BT Knight. What's going on, fellas? Thanks for being here today.
Good to be back.
Not much, man.
Yeet.
So let's get started with the final segment of SmackDown, because John Cena and Cody Rhodes were announced to go face-to-face, and we were treated to a couple surprises. We didn't know that Jey Uso was going to be there. If Jey Uso was going to be there, it also meant that we were going to see Logan Paul, and we did. We saw all four of these guys in the same ring. They went at it. They had a little altercation to hype up their tag team match that's scheduled for Money in the Bank. John Cena is going to be teaming up with Logan Paul to face Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. And we finally got to see them interact with each other before the pay-per-view. And what fucking universe are we living here that we are seeing Logan Paul team up with John Cena? Not only that, but John Cena putting over Logan Paul the way that he did tonight was something I never thought I would ever see. John Cena saying, Cody, you're lazy. Jey Uso, you're lazy. But you know who's not lazy? The hardest working man in professional wrestling, Logan Paul. So I'm like, what the fuck is happening here, you guys? But I really enjoyed this segment. It hyped up the match for Money in the Bank. And what did you guys think about this, Mr. Blood?
I haven't seen it yet. But as far as concerned, based on what you've told me, I can offer my thoughts this way. And I'll start with the fact that, again, very glad that we're not getting what was originally scheduled for Money in the Bank, which was supposed to be John Cena and Travis Scott versus Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes. Thank Christ the Lord that is not happening. However, we did find out that the backup plan was apparently supposed to be John Cena, Travis Scott, and Logan Paul in a triple threat against Cody Rhodes and the Usos. And apparently reports earlier this week stated that Travis Scott actually has backed out. So maybe he's not liking the online heat that he's getting a lot from the fandom. Who knows? But I can say that as far as concerned with John Cena putting Logan Paul over, if you're trying to get easy heat, you tell everybody in the room that Logan Paul is the hardest working man in professional wrestling, standing across the ring from Cody Rhodes, who is quite literally one of the hardest working men in professional wrestling. And you're talking about John Cena here, who was at one point the hardest working man in professional wrestling. It's kind of just really easy heat. Logan is easy to hate, easy to just get away from me, get off my screen. But he's great at being that guy. And John Cena here, really, really, I don't think he was hamming it up when he said it. I'd have to go back. I've seen a bit of it, but not all of the segment. But I would say that I'm interested to see how this is going to go. I can already tell that no one is cashing in at Money in the Bank during this tag match, because it's already been scheduled for that Jey Uso versus Gunther match that following Monday. That's where I think that title is getting cashed in on. And I do not think, as I said, Jay's walking out of that Monday Night Raw with that World Heavyweight Championship. And that pains me to say it, but I feel it in my bones. But all in all, it sets up the segment. The match better. I'm glad we actually have John Cena back to fucking build this thing. All I would say is I'm hoping whatever the go home SmackDown next week is, If we can get him again one more time to really set this in motion, because it's Money in the Bank, we need a good, strong go-home show. But yeah, those are my thoughts. I would say it's inoffensive and effective in building more heat on Logan and on John, kind of making you really want to see Cody and Jay win that much more. So, yeah.
I enjoyed this. I didn't expect Jay or Logan to come out, which people would say, oh, that's the most predictable thing. Yeah, not for me. I wasn't expecting it. Going off of what Blood said, I don't think I think Jay is safe from a cash-in. I think Cena is the one who has to be worried about the cash-in. Because think about it. And this might take me a little bit longer than what we said. If you win that Money in the Bank, you want to be you. Which champion would you rather cash in on? The person who has been working for 15 years to try and just get a world championship, or the 17-time world champion that the last time is now? If you want to save wrestling, you better cash in on that championship. If I was Mr. Money in the Bank, I'm going after Cena. So that's my thoughts.
I completely agree with Tox on this one. I do believe that Jay is safe. As much as I would love to agree with Blood here, I think that Jay's walking out on Monday. Which, speaking of that, people are over here saying, oh yeah, like it's the most predictable thing. Both of these men are on Raw. One of them is the current champion of Raw. Ever since that title was dropped by Roman and the new title was put into place, why the fuck would the champion on Monday Night Raw show up on SmackDown? Why? Except he wouldn't. Now, with this match, we know it's going to be a good match. We know it's also going to be a viral match. How do we know this? Because Logan Paul is involved. Literally every match he's in goes viral. As much as I hate to say it, you have to give this man his flowers. You truly do. He does some of the most insane shit that has not been done for years. Such as him bouncing off the top rope into that backflip like he did. He claimed that that had never been done, although it had been done years ago, but has not been attempted since. This match is going to be absolutely insane. It is going to go viral. Whether it will actually be good or not, we will have to wait until next Saturday to find out.
I fully agree with Tommy and Toxic. I think Jay is safe from a cash-in. And I'm a fan for people who want to have personal beef with me, which I have had for over this past week. So let me make one thing clear. I know I've said ages ago that I didn't want LA Knight winning the briefcase because I want people to miss him. I've said that on record. I have said that on this podcast as well. And I realize that I may be a hypocrite for changing my mind. But when you talk about getting a third chance and a Money in the Bank briefcase, like John Cena said to The Rock in 2013, do you realize how many people don't even get a first chance? Karrion Kross isn't even getting a first chance. Because it was just confirmed that CM Punk is going to be in the qualifying match for Monday Night Raw. And they don't even think about adding Karrion Kross to a qualifying match. He doesn't even get a first chance. LA Knight is getting his third consecutive chance. 3 years in a row. If he doesn't win it, what the fuck else is there for him to do? As far as it goes for the promo. My favorite part of that whole promo was when Cody said, "Are you and Logan going to go backstage and you're going to polish his peacemaker?" When Jay hit the, he dropped that mic and he hit the, "Oh my God, that's a violation." I enjoyed that segment overall, but yeah, I think Jay's safe from the cash in.
I hate to break it to everybody, but ain't nobody safe from the cash in. At Money in the Bank, you're literally going to have both champions, John Cena and Jey Uso, in that show. Anyone can cash in on anyone. After those matches are set and done, depending on how the card goes, Jey Uso ain't safe, y'all. I hate to say it. But Bianca Belair is back, y'all. Bianca Belair came back in her hometown. She's still rocking the little hand brace thing. She got a nice little pop. And she got interrupted by Naomi. And I don't know. This feud is not really for me. Naomi is getting a lot of boos, which is good. The people are reacting to her. And the people love Bianca. Obviously, it's her hometown. So that's still going on. Naomi, we learned that she's freaking psycho because she said that she went into Bianca's parents' house and who knows what she did while she was in there. She asked for forgiveness, but Bianca said, "No, I'm not having this." This led to the women's Money in the Bank qualifying match. And Naomi ended up winning this this three-way versus Nia Jax, Jade Cargill. Of all people, Naomi was the one that's going to Money in the Bank, the one that I at least expected to win this. But Naomi getting a pretty big push here. Toxic, how are you feeling this feud? And, seeing Naomi being the one to advance to Money in the Bank.
Okay. I'm going to say it. And we're all thinking this. It's been said. I think I've said it multiple times. Multiple people on this podcast have, and on other places. But Naomi as a heel is just, it's just ass. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like Naomi as a, Naomi is one of those wrestlers that doesn't look good as a heel, in my opinion, and probably other people's opinion too. But her moving on to Money in the Bank, I didn't see it. I thought it was going to be Jade. And this feud, hopefully whenever Bianca is fully healed, hopefully we see Naomi versus Bianca. I think that's what this is going to lead into. This whole entire feud until Bianca is better, it's going to lead to Naomi versus Bianca.
Oh, Naomi. You're not a good heel. You're nothing but fucking cringy. That's all you are. Especially with the fucking caution tape casually hanging from you. No. You are not a good heel at all. And why the fuck would you do something as stupid as full-blown admitting to not only just going into her parents' house, but fucking breaking in? You broke into her parents' house. What the fuck? No. Why the fuck would you ever admit that? Especially to Bianca, of all people. Stop it. And then immediately after Bianca saying that she would absolutely kick your ass if you ever brought her family into it again, and which is very fucking valid, you dare to have a laugh that is worse and more annoying than Seth Rollins. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, it is way worse than Seth Rollins. It is way more annoying. But you're over here saying that you would hate for Bianca to be in a wheelchair like her mom? Why the fuck are you doing this? I get it, you're a heel, but you are making the worst mistakes you could possibly make. I wish you luck, Naomi, because that caution tape around you is only going to end up being a detriment to you. It's not going to save you from Bianca.
I want to capitalize on what Tommy said. The fact that you admitted to breaking into Bianca's house and then immediately went, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I realized I was wrong for my actions. You fucking asshole. Why the fuck would you do that? That is as dumb as a criminal admitting that to the police. And then immediately they're just like, I realize I was wrong for my actions. Please do not sentence me to life in prison. Motherfucker, you've been sentenced to life in prison. Bianca is never gonna forgive you. Okay? And as soon as she says that she would kick your ass, you immediately want her to be in the wheelchair. Naomi, she cannot be taken seriously as a heel. She is a cringe fest and a fucking freak show. Naomi, I don't know how to say this. I really need you to get your sexual urges checked. Because you are a freak show. I mean, just not that long ago, you were freaking all over Jade Cargill on the lead up to WrestleMania. You were a freak. And you were telling us to proceed with caution. Yeah! I don't want an STD! What the fuck?
And we're canceled again.
Whatever. But as far as the match goes, this was sloppy as fuck. Oh my God. And it wasn't on Naomi's part. It was on Nia Jax's part. Oh my fucking Christ. Sloppy as fuck. The pacing was so bad. I have given Nia Jax her flowers for the 2024 that she has had. But fuck me, this was not it. This was not it. Oh my God, this was bad. But, yeah, sad to say, but we're going to have to cop the fact that Naomi's going to Money in the Bank. Pray to God she doesn't win it, but that's how it is.
I like Naomi as a heel. As far as it's concerned, you guys got to understand something. This ain't Naomi on Naomi. This is on the fact that they're trying to tell a story 5 months too late. After they shoehorned Bianca into Elimination Chamber and then shoved her onto Raw for two straight months. They could have told this story literally as the match for Mania and kept, again, Bianca out of Elimination Chamber, out of the triple threat, just told the story between Rhea and Io of Rhea never being able to beat Io. That should have been the story. We've been over this. This story, this feud would be over already. It would have been over by now because it would have ended at Mania and have been building for the 2 months leading into Mania and then finished at Mania. It would have been over. Then we could be moving on to Bianca versus Jade. But as far as it's concerned, this isn't on Naomi. This is on them start, stop, and starting again this feud. On and off, on and off. And then, by the way, I just checked. The last match Bianca was in was WrestleMania, April 20th. So now that it's been a month and a week and a half later, now you want to bring her back in to continue this fucking story again?
She had an injury.
Yeah, but that's my point. If you got an injury, just stop telling the story, man. Like this, all this shit. When did Jade Cargill return at Elimination Chamber? Right. Okay, that was in February. It's June in 2 days. This story started last year in like November, bro. End it. And on top of that, I don't have a problem with the fact that Naomi is a heel. But look, whoever wrote that fucking promo for her or they gave her the promo notes and the line to say the wheelchair shit, they're an idiot. And also whoever wrote the shit that for her to sit there and automatically cop to a fucking a petty theft or a petty burglary. And that, like, it just, it's literally just the story of her trying to gaslight Bianca into back into being friends. But I'm sorry, in my opinion, I got to be honest here. The one thing that they fucked up here in this entire thing is Bianca. When you had Bianca on Raw, she was getting heel heat. She was getting booed. The crowd's not really into Bianca anymore. So you expect people to feel sympathy for Bianca, but they can't stand her either after the shit she pulled against Io and Rhea for 2 fucking months. Like, the crowd was barely reacting to Bianca because they're like, wait, oh, we thought you were a heel because all the shit they were having you do on Raw like 2.5 months ago. Are you still a good guy? Oh, okay, well, lightly cheer. But that's the thing. You ruined – this is the thing I was saying. When you threw her into Elimination Chamber, and I said this before, you ruined her character because you booked yourself into a corner and her character paid for it. When you told the story of that triple threat leading into Mania, you utilized Bianca's character and turned her into an obnoxious jerk who felt like she I deserve it. I deserve it. I'm the best. I'm this. When she's interfering in Rhea's business and then acts like Rhea's the bad guy for getting mad about it, which is heel shit. Now she comes back here and wants to act like Naomi is wrong for because Naomi's wrong for what she did to Jade, but she's literally here genuinely groveling for forgiveness. And you still fucking won't even give her a chance. It's like, you've been a heel too in fucking NXT, Bianca. You ain't coming up roses. Weren't you just fucking disrespecting the shit out of Io Sky not 2 months ago? Little sistering her, pie facing her over and over again? Some bullshit. Oh, in the match, I'm glad Naomi won. Great finish. I don't expect Nia to get out of that type of pin. Not with her ass weighing her down.
Yeah, I kind of agree with mostly everyone except for you, Blood. The outcome of the match, I wasn't really hoping for that. The match itself, too, was, I mean, besides it being another triple threat match, yeah, you can't put Naomi and especially Jade Cargill as, like, I hate to say it, as green as she is in these types of matches. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it wasn't a good look. I don't think anyone came out looking stronger or got over on this match. But the fact that they brought Bianca Belair back on her in her hometown, I think they're trying to put her back in that babyface character to put sympathy on her. And I've heard you say this too before, Blood. Like, wrestling fans, their mind span is like, they have like short term memory loss or something like that, right? Like, I think people
two things about wrestling fans are true. They're extremely fickle, and depending on the circumstance, they either have a very long memory or they have a very short memory. But this crowd was like, we haven't seen you on SmackDown since like one segment building into WrestleMania, where you came out here to argue with Jade and Bianca like once or twice. But like, you spent most of the year on Raw and then not on TV at all. How are we supposed to feel? Because the last time she was here, she was acting kind of like a heel.
Yeah, but
and I think they need to turn Bianca heel.
Yeah, but this was her hometown. Did I mention that already? So the people were reacting to her anywhere else.
But if you brought her out in any other city, and I think the reason they brought her out here and not out last week or next week is because they knew they could get a little babyface shine on her in her hometown. If they brought her out in any other city, I think she gets some booze mixed in with those cheers.
Yeah, and if you saw, I don't know if you saw this entire segment or not, but like, since she came out, she, you know, she got the big hometown reaction. They even let her do like some song that apparently everyone in that arena knew. It's probably like, I don't know, some Tennessee thing or something. So they really went
all the clip.
Yeah, they really went all out to try to put Bianca Belair over here tonight. And then here comes Naomi, and she gets super booed. And Bianca's getting all the cheers, so I think they're going to try to do that again. They're going to try to make people forget all that shit that Bianca did, you know, leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, wash that stink off that awful build.
Yeah, pretty much.
The only reason why they pulled out that song is because of the fact that it's a Nashville staple, so literally everyone in that town knows it.
Again, it's just building a cheap pop because they know they fucked up with Bianca the last 2.5-3 months. And they're like, we got to reverse the damage we did to her character. And they know it because they pay attention to the online community and they pay attention to how the fans react in those stadiums. And she was not very well liked by the fans since like freaking February. So you got to reverse that damage.
Well, unfortunately, because this is SmackDown, you guys, we have to talk about the SmackDown Tag Team Division. So we saw a segment with all of the tag teams once again, followed by another tag team match with Javon Evans, who, by the way, this is his first time on SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken, who teamed up with Rey Fénix versus the Garzas. And that tag team match was to build up a match at Worlds Collide. You guys are going to help me out with what's going on in Worlds Collide. I haven't really been paying attention, but I know this tag team match. Hold on 1 second. Not yet. So I know this tag team match, it was to build up that. We'll get into that in a little bit. The segment before that was the Street Profits. The tag team champions came out. And then Fraxium comes out. Fraxium technically never lost to the Street Profits because of the Wide Six interfered last week. So they want a rematch. And then they get no pop. Even though they're this fresh, new, young tag team who's undefeated, they come out, no one cares. Then Motor City Machine Gun come out. And then the DIY come out. And I'm like, okay, here we go again. Let's just stop putting all these teams together in the same matches and the same segments all the fucking time. I understand that they all want to be tag team champions. That's the point. I get it. That's the major goal. However, it's just getting really exhausting because, like, who are we supposed to cheer for? Who do we want to face the Street Profits so they can, you know, potentially become new tag team champions? We're just throwing all the tag teams together all the time, and it's getting annoying. Like, it's cool to have a number of tag teams, right? But none of these tag teams have personal issues or a personal feud. It's just all about the tag team titles, And I'm just like, when are we going to get something different? And I bring up the tag team match after that with Javon Evans and Rey Fénix, because why aren't the Garzas part of this tag team division? Like, if we're just going to be throwing the tag teams together anyway, just fucking throw the Garzas in there too. But Tommy, you're up this time. What are your thoughts about what we saw tonight with the tag team division? And also the fact that fucking White Six, three guys, Dexter Lumis, the other guy's name, I can't remember his name, and Uncle Howdy took out...
That was Joe Gacy.
Joe Gacy, thank you. And Uncle Howdy, three guys took out the entire tag team division on SmackDown. We're talking about, what, four teams? Eight guys? I don't understand none of this.
I was just about to bring that up because you waited until now to bring up the Wyatt Six, which I absolutely love the fact that they are so back. That's going to be fun. But DIY over here bringing up the fact that Candice LeRae intervened in the match. I get that. That was until good old Nikki Cross decided to go, fuck you. You're not fully getting involved. But when it comes to the segment itself, I found it great. It was a great way for the Wyatt Six to finally, after all this time, at least get something into the tag team division. Since they have been out of the tag team division, not once where they slipped in. Now, the first thing that popped into my head was their little video thing from later on after this, where it was just Uncle Howdy's face, and he says that they're not stopping until they get what they deserve or something like that. And that immediately made me think they're finally going after the tag titles. I don't care which ones it is. They're finally going after the tag titles. And I would love to see the Wyatt Six hold those bad boys. Like that dark and broody entrance. And then you've got the gold around two of their waists. I don't care if it's Joe Gacy. I don't care if it's Dexter Lumis. I don't care who the hell holds the titles. I really don't care, as long as at some point they are on them. And they are going to look gorgeous around their waist, especially with that smoke coming out from under them, like in every entrance of theirs. That would look badass.
I didn't get much of this segment, but I did see the Wyatt Six interfere. I love the Wyatt Six. They're awesome. Yeah, I haven't got that much thoughts on it, honestly. It's good to see the Wyatt Six back. But with what Snug was saying about how pissed off he is seeing the teams like going back and forth continuously, I understand where you're coming from, Snug. And I'm hoping that they can change some of the things in the draft whenever that fucking comes up. And we can at least split some of the teams into Raw so that the Raw's tag team division can have something to do. Because SmackDown's tag team division is lit. It's awesome. But some of that light needs to be shed on Raw's tag team division as well. So yeah, those are my thoughts.
I, again, love seeing the Wyatt Six back. It's great. Like we said last week, I think that eventually they're going to have to go out on their own, like you and I said, Snug. Because, you know, you can't coast on the memory and honor of Bray Wyatt forever. Eventually, you've got to carve your own path in these divisions. And going after the tag titles is an interesting change of pace for a faction of that size. of course, we have to assume, again, at some point very soon, Alexa Bliss has got to be getting involved. Remember, it was reported that she would be leading the Wyatt Six. That was a big plan. And they've put them on the same brands now. So that's something we need to be cautiously aware of. Having all the tag teams on the same time, I get that you're trying to showcase every team and give every team TV time every week. But then I go to the Raw division and there's three teams in the tag title scene. And it's like, bruh. Okay. Like they've even got people from NXT on fucking SmackDown in tag matches. I mean, you know what I didn't have on my 2025 bingo card? The fucking Garza scoring a pinfall on actual live TV. When I thought that the fucking people who couldn't buy a win were literally Solo Sikoa, freaking Carmelo Hayes, and the Garzas, didn't see that on my bingo card. So I don't know who they paid off or whose catering they paid for, but they got a pin tonight, and I was shocked. That being said, I want to highlight one individual performer tonight from this match. Javon Evans. Javon fucking Evans tonight. What a delight. If you're trying to showcase NXT guys or, you know, newer, younger guys on the main rosters and build stars, man. Man, Javon Evans, man. That guy has all the energy and heart of a backyard wrestler mixed with that hood kid who would just do wrestling moves on his friends at a grocery store. Those guys on YouTube, that's the energy I get from watching this kid. And everything he does looks crisp. It looks clean. It's like they shrunk Randy Orton and made him black. And I mean, legitimately, to me, out of every single person on the show tonight, every performer on the show, top to bottom, I think Javon Evans stood out amongst everyone tonight as far as in-ring performances go. And if he was a part of the regular tag division, I would be excited to see next to him and Nathan Frazier. Those are the two main guys in the tag scene right now on SmackDown that I'm interested in watching because I love Fraxium and I like what they were doing tonight here with Javon. This was some cool ass shit. So those are my thoughts, but we do need a draft. We need a draft desperately for this tag division and these women's mid-card divisions, but this tag division, split the wealth or call some of these guys up from NXT and let's fucking freshen this shit up, please.
So yeah, everything about the Wyatts, basically what Tommy and BT said. I'm going to correct one thing that Blood said. Javon Evans isn't on the tag team roster or the division in NXT. He was just tagging with Phoenix tonight because of what happened last week. Or this week.
No, I'm aware. I'm saying that they should add him to it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, my bad. I'm going to be telling Snug about the Worlds Collide stuff because he asked for some help about that. At Worlds Collide, it's a fatal four-way for the North American Championship. That's why Ethan Page was out there during the Javon Evans and Phoenix versus the Garza's match. It's going to be Ethan Page, Javon Evans, the Laredo Kid, and Rey Fénix for the NXT North American Championship. So I'm really hyped to see that match. That's one of the reasons why I'll be watching Worlds Collide. I'm just excited. Sign me the fuck up for this.
Nice, hell yeah. Well, all right, that makes a whole lot of sense then as to why we saw Javon Evans out there tonight. And yeah, he looked really fucking good. Moving on here, we heard from Damian Priest after his big blow-off cage match at Saturday night's main event. And he was going to tell everybody what's next for him. I mean, after his long, long feud with Drew McIntyre that lasted about a year, Damian Priest made it pretty clear on who's next and what he wants. And it's simple: championships. And he wants to go after the baddest champion out there. And me, myself, and everyone in that arena automatically started saying Jacob Fatu. So we're going to be seeing Damian Priest versus Jacob Fatu somewhere down the line. And I think it's very deserving. Damian Priest came out on top on this feud versus Drew McIntyre. They had a total of four matches in this whole entire year. Damian Priest won three out of the four matches, beating Drew McIntyre in this feud that they were having. Damian Priest, I don't want to hear anyone complain saying, oh, why is Damian Priest getting a title shot? Well, there you go. He didn't make Drew McIntyre look bad. They both came out looking good, but the whole point of why Damian Priest came out on top of this feud is I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Drew McIntyre was going to go away. So it made more sense to put Damian Priest over in a big way because he's still going to be around and they're going to use him for something big. And that's the United States Championship versus Jacob Fatu. I'm excited for this, you guys. BT, any thoughts on this?
Damian Priest and Jacob Fatu. Sounds like a hell of a good match. Sounds like a hell of a good match when it comes to one-on-one matches. I think they're both street, I don't want to say thugs, but I'll just use that as a term. Street thugs. They know what it's like to live on the streets. I'm really hoping that there's a street fight between the two of them at some point. I would love to see that. Yeah, I'm very excited for this feud.
I enjoyed the segment with Damian mainly because I like that he was genuinely putting Drew over. And genuinely putting over Jacob, I thought was great. He's like, he really exemplified and tried to really kind of emphasize the fact that this was his actual real feelings and just not, you know, character work. And I like that we have the direction. He came out of a great feud with Drew that was on and off for about a year that started getting built at, I believe it was the Royal Rumble of last year.
2023 War Games.
Or War Games, then goes all the way to Rumble, then the cash in at Mania, on and off back last year, really in full effect this year, the Royal Rumble again. And then, it just kind of culminated. Like, they're using Drew properly. They used Damian properly here. Those guys played off each other well. And I like that the higher ups and Triple H, Nikon, they see the greatness in Damian Priest, and that they didn't just, oh, we gave you the championship once, now we're going to stop booking you normally, we're going to haphazard, you're going to job out, like they do to so many guys. They give that one opportunity to checks notes, Big E Langston, checks notes, Kofi Kingston as champions. And it's just nice to see that they're keeping his momentum up. And I like that they're like, though, the direction that you're telling us Damian's going in is not just the direction Damian's going in. You're telling us the direction that you plan on booking him in. And that is in future championship opportunities, in matches, in a competitive nature. That makes me see that you find Damian Priest important and as a big deal. And if the company treats him as a big deal, then he's a big deal to the fans. And that's overall just a great thing for him. So I'm excited to see where he goes. I love that they're putting so much spotlight on him so that he can then rub that off onto Jacob, giggity, pause, resume. And then literally they can have a couple of barn burners too, man. We're going into Money in the Bank. We're going to be going into a Saudi show here pretty soon. And we're also going to be hitting SummerSlam here at some point. So you got to wonder, are they saving a face-off for SummerSlam for Jacob versus Damian? But all I know is this is great. I enjoyed it. Great build up for Damian. Love that he put the other guys over. It's good for the boys. This was good. This was what we need. We need to know where Damian is going, and this was effective.
So when I thought this was a good segment, start to finish, but I didn't think that Damian was talking about Jacob Fatu, because he started saying like all these good things about the champion that he was talking about. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, who's the champion right now that Damian would say all these good things about? And I'm like, Jay, because they've had history together, both in a feud and tagging together for like one time, I think. So my mind, like, oh, so he's going to call out Jay on SmackDown? That's weird. Why wouldn't he just make a surprise appearance on Raw? But then he said Jacob Fatu, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So, yeah, I kind of felt stupid during that. But, like I said, great segment, start to finish. I enjoyed everything about it. Damian putting McIntyre and Fatu over just made this hell of a lot better.
I'm super excited for this feud, man. I really am. I do not believe that this is going to be a one-match wonder. It's just not. You have two big boys. I do not think that these two are just going to have a one-match wonder. It's just not going to happen. As much as I hate the amount of street fights that we're getting, since it feels like it's all the fucking time at this point, I will say that this is the one street fight that I want to see. Like, I really, really want to see this street fight. I could imagine it, and it is insane. Like, I fucking love both of these men. And the fact that he is going after the United States title, a title that he has held once before, if he beats Jacob Fatu, two-time United States champion, I could possibly see that in his future. But the thing is, you would have to get through a man who not only is a fucking tank, but he is one powerful tank. He is the type of guy that you do not want to piss off. Because if you do, you're fucked. You are going to unalive if you piss this man off. Plain and simple. But with this feud, hell yeah. Let him go. I'm going to say the same thing I said about good old Rusev and Sheamus on Monday. Let them go. Let them have a long-ass match. Just let them at it. Let them have a fantastic street fight, which I know is inevitable between these two. Let them go.
Well, speaking of Jacob Fatu, he was in a Money in the Bank qualifying match that all of you guys swore up and down he was for sure going to win. And I'm just going to just let you guys and apologize for saying that I was wrong. And I'm going to pull a Mr. Blood. I called it. Jacob Fatu did not win. I just had a feeling that he wasn't going to win. I don't know why. It just didn't make sense to me because of everything that was going down with Solo Sikoa, him being in the Money in the Bank. Jacob Fatu's United States champion. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. But what I didn't know was that Andrade was the one that advanced in this three-way. It was Andrade versus Jacob Fatu versus Carmelo Hayes. I was kind of hoping for Carmelo Hayes to win this one, oddly enough, because I'm kind of interested in the story that he's kind of building with The Miz here, and, you know, The Miz giving up his opportunity to give it to Carmelo Hayes because he's the next up-and-comer, and I wanted to see Carmelo Hayes get in that match. But Andrade, he's no stranger to these Money in the Bank ladder matches. He's been in these ladder matches before. So in that sense, it makes sense for Andrade being the one to advance and go on to Money in the Bank. But yeah, it was all thanks to Solo Sikoa that Jacob Fatu didn't win it. Jacob Fatu had the match won pretty much. Solo Sikoa jumped on the apron. He was trying to help. But we all know since the beginning, Solo Sikoa did not want Jacob Fatu in that match. He was not a fan of the idea of Jacob Fatu having the opportunity to be in the Money in the Bank. So Solo Sikoa got what he wanted. And after the match, Jacob Fatu made it clear, I don't need your help. I don't want it. I don't need it. Don't do that shit ever again. So tension is starting to build more and more with Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. Mr. Blood, thoughts on this?
So the match I thought was really good, probably the best work match of the night. As far as it's concerned, it's interesting because I feel like Jacob going into the Money in the Bank tells a much better story for them because Solo's in it. So it feels like you could tell a better dissension story inside of that match while everybody else is telling their own stories, but it's fine. I'm glad they gave Andrade the shot, the chance. It feels like they've really kind of hampered him down since Charlotte came back. And I know that they divorced and everything, and maybe they were keeping him off TV or separating them until maybe they found a comfort level backstage. I'm not sure. I can't speak on it and know for certain, but kind of odd she comes back and then he's not on TV that much. But at the same time, we all knew Carmelo Hayes wouldn't get in the shit. I feel like they have not done irreparable damage to Carmelo Hayes, but they have done a lot of damage to Carmelo Hayes in the sense of I don't know what you do to rebuild his legitimacy that he had in NXT before he got called up, the legitimacy that he had on the draft night last year after WrestleMania 40 when he versus Cody Rhodes in the main event, for Christ's sakes, and had a great showing. And now, you know, what a difference a year makes, as they say, where this man is just the most talented jobber on the fucking SmackDown roster. And it's kind of like, what the fuck? When it comes to it, I like that the biggest problem in this match isn't just Solo getting on the ropes and, you know, jawing off and trying to dance at ringside and being an absolute distraction. And getting up on the ropes and trying to order Solo to do another moonsault. Do it again. Do another moonsault. And when he doesn't listen, then the big point of contention comes up. Jeff Cobb gets on the ropes and tries to order JC Mateo, that dumbass name, gets on the apron and tries to order Solo himself, or not Solo, but Jacob, to then do the moonsault. So you've got Solo getting up there and distracting and being a goofball, trying to tell Jacob how to win the match that he's in, that he's already currently winning. And then you have JC Mateo get up there and then try to also order him around. And notice that Solo didn't stop JC Mateo from ordering Jacob around. In fact, he kind of encouraged it. And notice how JC gets bumped off the fucking apron, or dragged off the apron and thrown in, down. But then notice, because the camera never shifted, Jacob Fatu gets bumped into Solo Sikoa and knocks Solo Sikoa off the apron. So now we've got another wrinkle there. Now we've actually had a physical contact between Jacob and Solo. And it's Solo can now use that and say, well, I was trying to help you. You pushed me off the apron, yada, yada, yada. Well, if you weren't on the apron distracting me, getting in the way of my match, I would have won. And now we're going to have that wrinkle. So I think the little story beats here, they're working. They're working. So I'm excited to see what's next, man. We got the go home show next Friday. Let's see what last cog in the wheel or what last, sorry, wrench in the wheel they can throw in there to send us into Money in the Bank, really wondering what's going to happen.
Okay. First of all, Snug, I don't know who this, I called it, and you all said that Jacob Fatu was going to win. I did not. I said it does not make sense for Jacob Fatu to win the qualifying match because he is currently the United States Championship. He is currently the United States champion. English. Mr. Blood, you are a hypocrite. You agreed with me last week that it does not make sense for Jacob Fatu to win. And now you were saying it would have made sense for him to win.
Actually, really quick, and so you can finish. I never actually said that Jacob should win his qualifying match because I didn't know who his opponents were initially. Now, once tonight I found out who his opponents were, he made the most sense because it's Andrade, whom we have barely seen all year, and it's Carmelo Hayes, who couldn't win the lottery and buy a win. So it made more sense tonight for Jacob to be the one to do it. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, my bad. But still, I did not think it made sense for Jacob Fatu to win this, and he didn't, which I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it was Andrade, because one, he hasn't been on TV for fucking ever. And I just don't want to see Carmelo Hayes in another ladder match. Like, not that he's been in a lot, it's just I don't want to see him in one. But yeah, I'm just super glad that Andrade won this so he can finally. As I was watching the match, I said, man, I would, like, looking at everyone in the Money in the Bank match, I would really want to see Andrade and how he would work with Seth, with Penta, with Knight, with Solo, and whoever qualifies on Monday, either being Punk, AJ, or whoever else it is. So, yeah, I was really interested to see what Andrade was gonna do. And luckily, he got that thanks to Solo and Jeff Cobb. I am not calling him JC Mateo. Thanks to Solo and Jeff Cobb, that Andrade can now get that spot and make this match a little more interesting, in my opinion.
Now, I will be one to admit, at first, I thought that Jacob was going to crush through. I truly did. That was before Priest called him out. I honestly thought that Priest was going to get involved. What I thought in my head, as all of the entrances were happening, is that we had three contenders to interfere. Solo, which ended up happening, Priest after that call out, or The Miz. Obviously, two of those did not end up happening. Well, sort of. Miz kind of did get involved a slight bit. Not as much as Solo did, though. But Solo, my boy, all you're doing is pissing him off more. I promise you, when he turns heel, I mean, when he turns face, which I still think, even if he's not in the match, is still a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to, but it is a possibility, especially since Jacob isn't in the match because of Solo, for that to be when Jacob says, fuck it, I'm doing it. That would make perfect sense. I'm not going to lie, because he has been holding all of this up. He hasn't fully taken it out. Once he turns face, he is going to put all of that anger straight into Solo because of all of this. And I guarantee you, and the package in the back after the match proved that. It was legitimately Jacob Fatu throwing shit around, pushing shit around because of the fact that he was pissed off at Solo Sikoa and Jeff Cobb, as he should be. But my guess, if I were to put it at any point this year, it would be Money in the Bank. That is my guess for the face turn.
I don't know what to say. I wanted Jacob Fatu to win because it made sense to the Bloodline story that they are telling. And it's also because LA Knight is involved, and it could subsequently break the Bloodline vortex that LA Knight has been a part of subsequently. Andrade for the win. I was not expecting that. I honestly wanted Carmelo Hayes to win it. I'm not going to front you. I wanted Carmelo Hayes to win it. Anybody but Andrade. Not after the shit that he's done to Charlotte Flair. No. I'm still at a soft spot for that. But yeah, where I'll end this is congrats, Snug, on calling this right. You got it right. Jacob Fatu didn't win, so you have every right to brag about it. Good on you.
Yeah, I had to, man. I had to pull a Mr. Blood there, you know. I called it. No, I'm just kidding. No. Well, yeah. So far for the men's Money in the Bank, we have Seth Rollins, Penta, Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, and Andrade. And we have one more spot open that's going to get filled next week, I'm sure. And for the women's side, we have Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Roxanne, Julia, and Naomi. So those are the men's and the women's Money in the Bank so far. So next week should be fun, you guys. We're probably going to, at some point, do some Money in the Bank predictions next week as well. So be on the lookout for that. But for now, that was a SmackDown review. Good night, everybody. We're going to get up out of here, and we will see you next time. Let's get the fuck out of here. No yeet. Bye.
Four letters. One word.
Yeet.
No yeet.